The Holy Gospel according to the 25th chapter of Matthew. For it is as if a man is going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one slave he gave 5 talents, to the other 2, another 1, and to each according to his ability. Then he went away. Then the one who had received 5 talents went off at once and traded them, and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled the accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And on my return, I would have received what was mine with a little interest. So take the talents from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even that which they have will be taken away. As for the worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's interesting today's parable of Christ to hear Jesus talk about finances, to talk about investing, to talk about banks and bankers. Because right now in our world, 2,000 years later, we're talking a lot about these things. The so-called credit crunch has hit. Businesses are closing. Businesses are laying off people. The Dow Jones, down 5,000 points. Toronto Stock Exchange, the TSX, 40% of its value wiped out. The FTSE in London, half its value gone. The DAX in Germany, likewise, over 50% gone. The Nikkei in Japan, like a lead balloon headed for zero. And soon in our mailboxes, we will grab an envelope, and it will be from our mutual fund company, our pension plan, and it will contain grim news. You now have less than you had last year. Somewhere, money that you've never seen, money you've never spent, money you've never held, has disappeared. It's gone. Now turn on a television, open a newspaper, turn up the radio, and you will hear many smart, many educated, many talking heads telling you what to do. How do you respond to this? The word recession, that's out the window. Depression is the new word of the day. How bad will things get? How much will collapse? What will the unemployment figure rise to? Is your job safe? Is your retirement safe? What does your future hold? There is fear, there is panic, there is distrust. Those who we trusted with our finances, those companies, those people, those corporations that take a little off the top every month, that hold our life savings, those smart people in big towers on Bay Street, on Wall Street, faceless, nameless people somewhere that we trusted, have seen to it that we've lost a lot. And there's anger, there's despair, there's doubt, And for those who had a window of retirement in the near future, there is worry. And into this mix comes people. More financial professionals. The same kind of people that got us in this mess. And they're going to tell us how to get out of it. And these people seem to, at least as I see things, fall into two camps. There are risk takers and there are safety seekers. The risk takers tell us, now is the time to invest. This is a red tag sale. This is a blue light special. These companies are fundamentally sound. The products and the services they produce are just as important today as they were 2 years ago. Yesterday's $100 stock is today's $15 stock, and it will go back to $100. Now is the time when you get in. Buy low and sell high. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Those are the risk takers. They see this as an opportunity. This collapse, this depression, this crunch, this is an opportunity to buy. This is when the money will be made. Next group are the safety seekers. Think things are bad now? Wait 6 months from now. Wait a year from now? Wait 18 months from now. $100, $80, $60, $40, $20. Don't buy that stock. There's a good chance it might go to $0. As Kenny Rogers says, you know when to hold them, you need to know when to fold them. And friends, it is time to fold them. Pick up what little chips you have left, back away from the table and cash out. Bury it in the backyard, hide it under the mattress, but get it out of the market. For there is no return dividends to be made. Seek safety. Take what little left you have, because odds are next year you're going to have even less left. Things are going from bad to worse to horrible. So which camp do you fall in? Are you a risk taker or a safety seeker? Are you doubling down or are you cashing out? Don't look to me for advice. Today's parable. These words of Christ. It's to encourage the risk takers. And why not? We're playing with the house's money. Jesus tells this parable, a parable of the talents. And what's a talent? It's a large number of money. The Good News Bible translates this into 5,000 gold coins, 2,000 gold coins, 1,000 gold coins. A master gathers his three best and brightest servants. And he's going away for a long time, a length probably measured in years. He takes his first servant, one he thinks is probably the most gifted, most hardworking, and he gives that servant 5 talents. 5,000 gold coins. Calls him the second servant, gives him 2 talents, 2,000 gold coins. Calls him the last servant, gives him 1,000 talents or 1,000 gold coins. Now this is his servant and says, I'm going to be gone for a while. Take what I have given you and do your best with it. So time rolls by. The servants get to work. First servant with 5,000 gold pieces starts trading, starts bartering, starts investing, doubles. 10,000 gold pieces. Next servant with 2,000 gold pieces, likewise. Rolls up his sleeves, gets to work, doubles to 4,000 gold pieces. The third servant, he is what they call in the markets risk adverse. In fact, he doesn't even buy Jerusalem savings bonds. What he does is he buries a hole. He takes his sack of gold coins, he drops it down the hole, he covers it up, and he says, whatever happens, I'm not going to lose those gold coins. Master returns, calls his servants together and says, "So guys, tell me how it's been." First servant walks up, says, "I have worked hard, sir. I have doubled your investment. Here is 10,000 gold coins." "Very good, faithful servant," says the master. "Come, you have been promoted." Second servant comes, "I too, master, have doubled your investment. Here is 4,000 gold coins." "Very good, faithful servant," says the master. "You've been promoted." Next servant comes, looks at his feet. "Well, sir, let me explain. I know you're a tough guy, okay? I know that if I were to lose any of your talents, if I were to lose any of your gold coins, you would not be happy with me. So here's what I did. I took real good care of them. I buried them in my backyard. And here you go, sir. Here is your 1,000 gold coins back." "You foolish servant," says the master. "You could have at least invested them. You could have at least bought Jerusalem savings bonds. You could have at least owed 3.1%. Heck, with inflation, I ended up losing money. Get out of my sight. You're fired." So what does this have to do with us? These words come from the Savior. They come from Jesus, who knows that His time is approaching, that soon He will march up that road to Calvary, that He'll be hung on a cross, that He will depart His disciples. This is a message of encouragement. Christ is saying, "I'm going to be gone for a while. And I've given you something. And I don't want you to simply bury it. I want you to get into the world and use it." I said to the servant that we're playing with the house's money. And that's because what we've been given does not belong to us. We haven't earned it. We haven't toiled for it. It's been freely given to us. Just as that master said to one servant, "Here's 5 talents, here's 2 talents, here's a talent," God has just freely given us stuff. The gift of holy baptism. A gift that regenerates us. A gift that washes us clean of sin. A gift that brings us into eternal life. The gift of the Holy Spirit. A gift that strengthens us. A gift that helps us to see the world with God-like eyes. An empowering gift. A gift of energy. A gift of knowledge. A gift of wisdom. The gift of Holy Communion. The body and blood of Jesus Christ brings us together. It nurtures us. It sustains us. It allows us to experience our risen Lord. It's a constant reminder of God's presence with us. The Holy Word teaches us, draws us closer to God, encourages us, sends us out, inspires us. These are the gifts that we have. These are the talents that we possess. These are the things that we are called to trade in the world. The first servant, the second servant. What separated them from the last servant was the fact that they entered into a partnership. They went to work in the world on behalf of their master. They took what they had freely been given and they used it. They used it to multiply for the master. The last one, the one that buried what he was given, he begrudged his master. "I don't want nothing to do with this. I don't want to lose it. I don't want to touch it. I don't even want to count it. I want it out of my sight. I don't want to be responsible for it. I'm going to bury it in a deep dark hole and not look at it until my master returns." To us, God says, get out there. Don't be risk adverse. Don't play it safe with your faith. Use what I have given you and go out into the world and work to multiply the kingdom of God. Work to multiply love, justice, the spread of God's word, the good news of Jesus Christ. Work to multiply these things. Don't just take the gifts or talents you've been given and bury them in a hole, never to be seen again until Christ returns. The mark of Christianity, the calling of a Christian, is not to line up on a hillside on the day of the resurrection to stand before God and say, "Well, God, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do much right, I didn't do much wrong." That's not our calling. Our calling is to get into the world. To use what we've been given. To roll up our sleeves. And yes, to accept failure. Because failure happens, trust me. You guys see how much I fail around here. How many ideas, how many projects, how many hopes and dreams die on the ash heap of failure. Scary part is that's like 5% of the stuff I do. The other 95% of my failures you guys don't even know about. The phone calls, the visits, the plans that totally go off the track. But you keep on trying. You keep on working because sometimes things do work out. Sometimes the effort, sometimes the energy, sometimes the investment is multiplied. And those are great times. It's mostly fear of failure that stops us from risking things. We're scared of the outcome. What if I share my faith with someone and they think I'm Looney Tunes? They think I'm a Bible thumper. They want nothing to do with me. What if I try and help someone and I fail? It happens. And rightfully so, we get concerned. We don't like failure. But the opposite is no better. Because to never fail means to never try. Ours is not a faith that calls us to risk nothing. Ours is not a faith that calls us to love nothing. Ours is not a faith that calls us to try nothing. Ours is not a faith that calls us to say nothing. Quite the opposite. Ours is a faith that calls us to say lots. Ours is a faith that calls us to risk lots. Ours is a faith that calls us to love lots. Ours is a faith that calls us to risk lots. All the way to the cross. Amen.